Validators are the key stakeholders of the Ethereum proof-of-stake world. After the SHA-Pala upgrade, ETH or rewards withdrawal is successfully enabled. Ethereum client developers are now suggesting improvement proposals to overcome some of the complexities of staking operations. We hope to have a few proposals deployed with Denkun with the next planned network upgrade. If you are a validator or generally interested in following proposed changes to the Ethereum consensus chain, stay with us. Hey everyone, this is Peep and Eep, episode 113. I'm your host Pooja Ranjan, welcoming you to the Denkun special episode. Today, we will follow a DENEP EIP 7044, Perpetually Valid Signed Voluntary Exit. As many of you know, DENEP is the name of the consensus layer upgrade. So this proposal will perhaps propose changes relevant to consensus client developers. 7044 was documented on May 18, 2023. Currently, it is in draft status. To provide an overview of this proposal and proposed changes, we are joined by Lion, who is the author of this proposal and a core dev at Lodestar. Welcome to Peep and Eep, Lion.
Hello, everyone. So excited to be here.
Most of our listeners don't know that I reached out to Lion in October 2021 to be on this talk show to talk regarding the merge at the time. But due to schedule conflict, it didn't work out. After a couple of years, here we are having Lion on Peep and Eep. So excited to finally have you with us. May we begin with a brief introduction, sharing your professional background, how you joined Ethereum, and how do you feel about the blockchain space in general?
Yes, for sure. So excited to be here. So I came from an aerospace background, and at some point it felt really corporate. And that was like late 2017, Ethereum was popping. So that anarcho technical world felt really exciting to me. So I just abandoned everything just to try Ethereum. At the time, I didn't know much, but I was very lucky to find a meetup in Barcelona where I met Griff Green and Jordi Bailina. And from day one, they took me under my wing. I moved into a hacker house. And from that on, I have only contributed to like Ethereum open source projects. And it's been a wild ride. I went from Dapnode, discovered Lodestar during COVID, and then protocols sucked me in really hard. And it's been an amazing journey. I think the level of technical friendliness and professionalism, exceptionalism here is fantastic. So I would encourage anyone to try it out, try the protocol fellowship programs. It's fantastic and it's a very welcoming community.
Coming from a corporate background, joining through hackathon or hacker house is something inspiring for people. I'm sure it will inspire someone to take a step forward and join the Ethereum space. Well, we have a presentation to be shared today. So without further ado, let's peep in.
Hello. So yeah, I'm going to talk today about EIP 7044, Perpetually Valid Signed Voluntary Exits, where the goal of this EIP is to improve staking operations on splitted credentials with minimal protocol changes. So compared to everything that's coming to the net, this EIP is rather small and has low impact, but its complexity is so trivial that we felt it was worth it to put it in the box. So just to start the story, motivate what we're doing, let's talk about what's a voluntary exit. So an Ethereum validator has its life cycle started when it sends a deposit message and it becomes active after performing its duties. At some point, it will decide to exit from the chain, and that's when it submits this message, voluntary exit. It will put into the exit queue, and after some time, it will be fully withdrawn. So in the Bitcoin chain, there are the concept of two different credentials, the withdraw credentials and the validating credentials. The validating credentials are those ones that are used on a day-to-day basis to sign attestations, sign blocks. And because they are needed continuously, they are considered hot. They have to be kept in a more insecure situation, usually in memory. So we chose to add a second set of credentials, which are the withdrawals, which control ultimately the staked funds. These allow to have a much higher level of security in the withdrawal credentials usually kept in cold storage. And in some cases, they are never even created. It's only an address, such as the 0x01. So the fact that these two credentials exist, in the most basic case, they are controlled by the same entity, for example, solo stakers or fully custodials like Coinbase. But in some cases, it allows different entities to hold each one of the keys. For example, in the case of Lido or Rocket Pool, the withdraw credential is held by the DAO, which ultimately holds the funds, and then the validating credential is delegated to some other entity. In other scenarios, user or an end user could retain the withdraw credentials and then delegate the validating credentials to a professional operator. So in today's situation, without doing anything, when the withdraw, say the owner of the funds, submits these funds to the chain through the deposit, it delegates control of these funds to the validating key. While the ultimate recipient of these funds is the withdraw credentials, the validating key has the capacity to keep funds hostage because the authority to trigger an exit relies on the validating key. This is not ideal. What we would like to see is a situation where the withdraw credential retains both control of the funds and the authority to claim them back. So it should have some mechanism to trigger this exit from its own. What you can do today is you can prepare, or you can expect the party that you will delegate the funds to sign these voluntary exits ahead of time. Then you submit the funds. And whenever you want to claim those funds back, you can just send this message to the network. However, doing this today, it's not trivial. It has a complication which this EIP will address, and I will explain in a second. But I want to mention that there is an EIP coming called 7002, which it will allow to trigger exits also from the execution layer, and crucially, from the withdrawal credentials. So for the case where the credentials are an execution layer address, this EIP is the right solution, but the one we're talking today deals with the legacy BLS credentials. So as I said, you could technically today pre-sign these voluntary exits, but there is a catch. Let's explain why. So a voluntary exit is a very simple message where you just express the intent that after the epoch specified in the message, the validator can be withdrawn. This is enforced in the block through this condition. And what it also means is that the epoch at which it's signed is the one that decides at which the signature domain is set. So let's explain. In the Bitcoin chain, every single message is signed with a different domain separation that's used to make sure that signatures are guaranteed to never collide with each other. And the domain separation has three levels. First one is the chain genesis. So the fork, the validators that are in the genesis, you compute the root, and that uniquely identifies every chain. So mainnet has one, go early has another. Then every single message has another domain. And the fork version, what it does is uniquely identify every fork, every hard fork. So phase one has one, Altair, Bellatrix, Capella, Deneb, etc. As you can see, there is a pattern here. We, for convention, choose for mainnet to just have an increasing nonce on the leading byte. So if you want to sign messages, we go here. The genesis, change genesis is known, it will never change. The message type is known, it will never change. And the fork version is the thing that changes and kind of breaks this pre-sign situation. But you can see here, oh, it just increases. Okay, so I'm just gonna sign for each one of these. The problem is that there is no rule to enforce that we will continue this pattern of nonce increasing in the future. So we could have a better solution. I want also to note of why this is even possible. Why don't you just sign the message for Genesis and then use it forever? Well, the catch is that the spec defines a very specific rule on how these four versions are accessible on-chain. From the point of view of the spec, all this information is not known. Only the last two are available for usage. That's because the spec enforces a rule where it can really only use information available in the state to perform block processing. So the state only holds the current and the previous forks. That's why a message signed for Bellatrix will not be able to be validated in Deneb because the oldest fork that is available is Capella. So just to contrast, the deposit message, which is another lifecycle validator message, is perpetually valid. The sign BLS to execution chain, which is a new message that we introduced in Capella to allow people to switch from 0x01 credentials to 0x01, they are all perpetually valid, except for the SIM voluntary exit, which is exactly what this EIP wants to fix. But you will ask, why are SIM voluntary exits not perpetually valid from the start? Well, the reason, when we started the chain, there was this consideration where, in the case of a very long contentious fork, consider a situation like the DAO fork, messages that are assigned for fork A, if we lock the signature domain, they will be replayable in the other chain. So this is definitely an issue. However, now that we have seen what types of staking patterns and what UX improvements this proposal could do, the consensus is that the advantages, the use cases that this EIP facilitates outweigh the potential cost in this situation. There is even the argument that if this fork was to happen, which may never happen, but could happen, some very highly skilled team of devs will have to maintain this fork. And they will have the capacity to code something which will literally be just one line to handle this edge case and set something like, if after contentious fork, then consider this different rule for exits. So if the fork happens, they will solve it, and then we can use the UX benefits today for the EIP. So yeah, other use cases that are cool and could be done is, even if you hold the two keys, you could pre-sign this exit and put it in some mechanism where, if you do not show up for 2 to 3 weeks or your validator goes offline and you are also offline, then the validator will automatically exit on its own. Or you could delegate this to a third party that does this for you. And you have this extra layer of protection in case your setup goes missing and then you don't suffer inactivity penalties for too long. And this is just some ideas, but more could be possible. And again, this EIP covers the 0x0 case for execution layer credentials, 0x01. This EIP is the way to go. And this will be actually the one that will be used by Lido and Rocket Pool. And they have been waiting for this one for a while. But for our EIP, status is included in DNEP. So far, here I'm linking the Lostin implementation. That's because of the client I'm leading, but I'm sure other ones are already done or to follow. And yeah, that's all. Thank you so much for your attention. And I'm Dev Lion in all socials.
Short and sweet. Nice presentation. I hope people remembered the concept of withdrawal credentials from the talk, which we recorded at the time of Shapela. We did have a conversation on CLWP, a proposal that was suggested to update the withdrawal credential. Moving on to the next section, which is a question and answer. I would like to start with the proposal. Out of curiosity, keeping signed voluntary exit valid up to only 2 upgrades for block inclusion, was that the part of initial beacon chain specs in 2020 or something that was included in later upgrade?
That was included from the start. It's a design decision on how the domain is computed. I think it was even a cause of a quasi-consensus bug when the first time it happened. So yeah, it's a tricky decision, but I think it kind of makes sense. It's a bit controversial.
Right, like we were at a very initial phase, right? So we just wanted to be careful, right? So it's okay. We can always improve it. My next question is about the advantage. At the time of Shapela upgrade, it was suggested to update the withdrawal key credential either using the BLA signature or CLWP proposal. I don't have a data for the withdrawal credential update, but do you see a use case of EIP 7044 if, hypothetically speaking, 100% of existing validator would have got their withdrawal credential updated?
If everyone switches credentials, this EIP has no use case.
Just trying to understand here, you mentioned about a use case with the Lido and Rocket Pool. Do you think it would be valid for them if all other solo validators may have converted their credential?
So for the case of Lido or Rocket Pool, if they want to, as we were talking here, retain control so that they can trigger the exit, what they have to use is EIP 7002, because they have already either changed the credential or from deposit time, the credential was already an execution layer contract.
Got it. And talking a little bit more about the proposal 7002 that you mentioned that is still awaited, is it something that is planned for this or perhaps for the future upgrade? I mean, I'm just curious to know about the status where we are with that proposal.
So definitely not DNEP. I think I can say that with certainty. I think the intention is to do it with the next fork. I think the spec now is somewhat final. There are no big unknown unknowns. So I don't see why it should not be included for the next one. And there are a bunch of other updates related to this sort of medium-sized accounting. Like we want to change how deposits are processed and potentially raise the max EV, and everything kind of ties in very nicely. So I would say I hope this lands for the next fork, and it looks like so for the next after the net.
My next question is with respect to client implementation. If I remember correctly, EIP 7044 is the first consensus-only EIP. At least that's what I am discussing here on PEEP and EAP. The process is generally new for the CL team, and I assume it is different from the traditional spec implementation. So my question is about the spec implementation status. Is EIP 7044 already included in Beacon Chain specs and implemented on all clients? Where can we follow the implementation status?
I would say in consensus, who has the ultimate authority at the end to decide what's there and what's not is the consensus spec repo. If something is merged and there are consensus spec tests, you are required to have that running, because that's the expectation that any client should pass all tests if they want to run on mainnet. I think the fact that now we have to do EIPs, it's a bit of a hassle. Now we have to do more things, but I think it makes sense because it makes the whole process more homogeneous. There are some bits of information that are difficult to put somewhere else, such as security considerations or backwards compatibility issues, considerations with the execution layer, that are very easy to pack with the existing format of the EIP. And I think now we are finding a format where the EIP is rather minimal in text. So the amount of information duplication is rather minimal. So yeah, I think it's a bit more work, but I think it's worth it.
I would agree, because I believe that EIP documentation is a document that we are creating for community to follow. Like, they should know what we are proposing change to the Ethereum mainnet over here. I mean, of course, the interested parties only. Not everybody cares about protocol specification. Talking about the same thing, the duplication of effort with respect to documentation, the EIP suggests that test cases are work in progress within the standard consensus layer test. However, I do not see the link to the consensus layer. I am not sure if there is some issue with respect to adding the link in the document, assuming that is not. Do you think EIP 7044 is ready for DevNet 8, which I hope will be a feature complete DevNet?
But I think client teams has been coordinating well. There is a list of EIPs that we agree to put on a specific fork. Usually we cut a version of the spec tests such that if you pass spec test, then you are good for DevNet. So I will check on that specific release. If this EIP is included and there are tests, then you should run it.
I think perhaps we should have Paritosh on this call to get this question answered. But yeah, we do have a call scheduled with Paritosh to talk about the tests and the proposals getting on DevNet later on in August, I guess. Yeah, so definitely we'll get to know more about it. All right, there's one other thing that you mentioned about security consideration. Are there any security concerns that client teams or user, perhaps the validators, may be aware of?
So first of all, this is a backwards compatible change. There is nothing that has to be aware of that would break today, only with the minor asterisk of a future consideration. If you did this strategy of pre-signing exits, you should be aware that any exit after Capella would not be valid, but the one at Capella would be valid. So if someone has designed a system like the one I was talking about, like a Deadman switch, they should just update the strategy to broadcast the one signed for Capella for perpetuity. That's the only really important consideration in terms of usability. For security, as I was talking about, if there is a contentious fork, then whoever is handling the second fork should consider this edge case and implement a bit of consensus code to make sure that exits are not replayable. Otherwise, it would be much difficult for users to stay active on both chains, which is also a big asterisk. Like, we have never had such a split. So we don't know what will happen. So here there are big ifs. If there is a chain, a sustained fork, and people stake in both and they can remain active, then the developers should implement some code to handle this replay attack. Otherwise, there is no risk.
That is good to know. My next question is, again, with respect to the documentation of the proposal. So generally, when we are documenting a proposal, we add a link to discussion, which is called like a discussion to thread that we generally create at Fellowship of Ethereum Magician. While looking into this proposal, I found this thread was mostly empty. We could not find much on the EIP pull request either. I'm wondering, where can the community follow the discussion with respect to EIP 7044?
So I think there wasn't much discussion. Like, as I said, this is a very tiny thing that we believed made sense. I think it was briefly discussed in a consensus call and Mikael and Hisao expressed interest and that was about it. Because it doesn't have, it's a very small size. It's practically negligible complexity with no considerable security issues. So it was just done basically in an afternoon. This is why I think it doesn't have much grounds to allow for controversy.
Yeah, that is good. I think not only just controversies, getting feedback from users, from stakers here would also be like encouraging for developers to continue coming up with the proposals like this to help improve the UI. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. If they want to contribute or give opinions or anything, I think the best place is the Ethereum Magician's link. As you say, the forum is open now, but if there are comments, we will reply for sure.
Definitely. We would like to share the link of discussion with the recording so people interested may come and share their feedback. Okay. My next question is with respect to the status. I understand the EIP process is relatively new for CL team. So I'm assuming this is already in the consensus spec included. This perhaps will be a right time to move into the review status. We cannot move forward because to move into the last call, the proposal has to be on a public testnet. But I'm wondering if the team would consider moving it to the review status because that is seems to be the best status for this proposal.
Yes, as I say, I'm not that intimate familiar with the exact details of the EIP process, but I trust my EIP editors and I know they will let me know when it's the right time to do so. So yeah, as I said, coming mostly from consensus, we still focus probably too much on the consensus spec. So yeah, I will try to educate myself and others more on the exact details.
Right. For making this proposal, like moving to the next status, there's nothing much needed. You can simply create a pull request in which you can make one small change from draft to review, and that would be all.
Okay.
It's always a good idea to have it in review while it is actually in review, because unless it is there, even the community believes that this proposal is not ready to provide feedback. So,
okay, makes sense.
Yeah. We discussed a lot about EIP documentation. I'm curious to hear your thought, your experience in documenting this EIP. And if you have any thought on the current process, any suggestion for process improvement you have got?
Sure. So, as I say, like doing this EIP definitely came as an extra hurdle that we had to do. Before we had this merger, probably this EIP would have been a two-line PR in the consensus specs and we will be done with it and forget about it. Definitely this EIP adds some overhead, but coming from a person that's not non-technical, I could see how the consensus spec would feel very intimidating as this repo with code and things. So it's not the most inviting place for external feedback. So now that the Beacon chain has merged with the execution chain, and as we inherit all the users and all the community that lay on the other side, which is arguably much greater than in the consensus spec side, I think it's good that we allow for these other forums. My hope is that with time, the overhead of doing this would be lower, but we will get there. I think the most important now is let's be uniform, let's make a consistent process, and we can work on it in the future. Another important point is the execution side will get executable specs soon. Hopefully, that's very exciting. So then the symmetry between the two layers will be much greater. And then we can see what can we do around that. Because at the end, I think speccing with code is the best. And then having the EIP as this minimal document that touches everything but technicalities to cover all the other considerations. And then some forum like if magicians to allow for discussions.
Thank you for this great feedback. Yes, we do expect execution specs to be ready soon. Recently, we have started the workshop for EELS for people to understand the execution specs and how they can perhaps start running their own node with that. People interested in following workshop can find it on Ethereum Cat Herders YouTube. It's an initiative by Sam Wilson, who has been leading the execution specs for quite some time here. Is there any success or roadblock or story that you would like to share with our listeners?
That's a good question. I think I would like to just talk again about like the consensus community and the meetups that we had, both for the merge in Greece and now for Protodunk Sharding in Austria, has been amazing. And it's just a pleasure to hang out with all these people. There is not a dull day here, a day I don't learn something new. So I don't know, just being here and being able to contribute and take a client from the ground and make it to production status and now being securing so much value, I think it's just, it's really nice. I'm really happy now that I'm working more on research side and just doing these APs. It's very nice and refreshing. Like, the research community in Ethereum is growing so fast and with so talented people, and we have so many challenges ahead, then I think we'll never get bored, and hopefully we can deliver an amazing Ethereum sooner than later.
Done. My hopes aligns with yours. I have heard a few stories about these meetups, like in-person meetups. I hope that team will have another good time at Istanbul, which is the next planned meetup. All right, we are coming close to concluding today's talk. Do you have any message for the validators community?
Don't be afraid to stake. Solo staking is much simpler than you think, and you would get even more rewards than going through another entity. And there is also always the altruistic component of participating in the chain, but it's really important. And now, having the explosive growth of Lido, it's super important to have a counterbalance in power. And even though I think recent reports show that solo stakers represent 6% of the many billions that are securing Ethereum, it's still a huge chunk. And in the case of a problem, that would be what saves Ethereum from extreme tail risks. So yeah, don't be afraid. Join forums, join ETHstaker, Tapnode, other forums. It's not that hard. And we are working hard. There are proposals to lower the 32 ETH limit. And even if you want to do that today, you can use, I think Rocket Pool even allows a smaller limit. So yeah, don't be afraid. We will help you.
Awesome. I think this is a sneak peek that there is a proposal to lower the ETH stake value for people who are interested and they are not able to become a solo validator because of the huge number of ETH for staking.
Yeah, I would say for people, there is this proposal, but if it happens in like a year or two, so if you can stake today, do it today. It's much better than waiting for so long.
Right. Perhaps this is something that we need to like promote, just like the client diversity, that we would like to change this percentage from 6% to something really significant so we can balance the stakers on the network.
Yeah.
Very well. Dapp Lion, we thank you for joining us on PeepAnEath and talking about upcoming changes with EIP-7044. We look forward to seeing the proposal on the testnet and finally on the mainnet with Denkun upgrade.
For sure. Same.
On this note, thank you to all our YouTube viewers for watching and podcast subscribers for listening to this special episode on Denkun. Should you have any question on this or any other topic, let us know at ETHCatHerders Discord. Check out descriptions for more info. We'll be back with another interesting talk. Until next time, keep watching, keep listening, and keep sharing your love with Ethereum CatHerders. Cheers.